The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to addressing San Antonio's public health needs, there's a long laundry list of items that demand attention. But as they say, when everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. Some items must rise to the top of the list so they can command the urgent action and additional resources. So what are the health priorities for San Antonio? That's the challenge for a new Metro Health Strategic Plan. Should the city be looking at issues that impact the most people or the item that will give the city the most bang for its bucks? Or should healthcare issues focus on what takes the most lives? What's the most deadly? How should we weigh our efforts when we come up with this list? And what are the top priorities? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the Metro Health Strategic Plan, 210-614-8980. What's your top pick? Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Colleen Bridger. She is the interim assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio. Jennifer Harriet, she is assistant director for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District's Community Health Division. And Dr. Junda Wu, she is the medical director for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you.
So, Colleen Bridger, can you tell me more about this process? Why do you go through this thing? How often does it happen? How does the community get involved?
So we do a strategic plan at MetroHealth every 3 to 4 years, and that's what really helps guide us as we move forward at trying to improve the health of the community.
And you've done this before?
We have done this before.
And why?
Because, like you said, if everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. It's funny. I saw both heads bob over here. They've heard me say that. We really have to focus in on those things that are most important to the community and that make the biggest difference when it comes to improving the health of San Antonio.
And Jennifer Harriet, how does data and an examination of everything that we know about the population of San Antonio enter into this process?
Well, we definitely want to look at the impact that any particular health issue is having on the community. So obviously, if it has a high impact, we also want to look at where the evidence points us. So what types of initiatives will actually improve the health in our community? So there's a whole host of data pieces that we look at when determining what we're going to focus on.
And so I'm looking at the time period that this strategic plan is supposed to, its shelf life on it. And it's only a couple of years, right? And is that, Colleen Bridger, you maybe can respond to this, is that deliberate because you're constantly looking for spikes and things that demand immediate attention?
Yes, we have to find that balance between how can we be strategic and think about the future and plan and address the future, but we also have to be opportunistic and be able to respond to immediate public health needs as well. And that's a really important thing to remember is when you're doing a strategic plan, it is focused and limited on, in this case, 4 things. That doesn't mean that those are the only 4 things that MetroHealth is going to do. We'll still give immunizations. We'll still test for STDs. We'll still inspect restaurants. Those things aren't going to show up in the strategic plan because those are things that we do well, we've been doing a long time, and we'll continue to do. The strategic plan addresses more cutting-edge issues and does so in a more comprehensive manner.
And Dr. Junda Wu, as the medical director for San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, what are you looking for as this plan is put together, and how will it inform what you do?
One of the things we're always interested in is equity. So we are looking at where there are gaps in access to health care and adverse child experiences and access to practices that support nutrition, gaps in violence. And what we want to do in population health is disrupt things so that things are more balanced. What I do as medical director has to do more with one-on-one healthcare, whereas this has to do with population health, which is really going upward and looking at the upstream and looking at root causes. So we don't have anything in here. We're not going to have anything in here that has to do directly with one-to-one healthcare services because that's sick care. By the time you go to a doctor, you're already sick most of the time. We're looking at prevention.
And so there are four items that are at the top of the list, and Colleen Bridger, they are, as I understand it, in no particular order.
Correct.
I see
they're not ranked.
Childhood trauma, nutrition, access to health care, and violence. Are these different than previous top four priorities?
They are. I think they're more thematic in nature.
Yeah, we're not talking about diabetes. We're not talking about HIV.
Exactly. They're bigger picture. They're a little bit further upstream, as Junda mentioned, and they're more policy focused. And so that's been the focus of Metro Health for the last couple of years is we want to really focus on those policies that we can implement that will make the biggest difference for as many people as possible without having to have that individual one-on-one change happen.
And so, Jennifer, Harriet, how do you track something like that?
Well, we certainly collect a lot of baseline data and make sure that we understand what's going on currently in our community, and then we'll go back and evaluate how the impact we've had, hopefully, on the community that we've been working with.
So when we say an issue that you want to address is childhood trauma, but really what you're looking at is the impact of childhood trauma, right? And how that is manifested, how we're able to identify that in our community, and so will you be like looking at information you get from Child Protective Services, or how do you gauge that?
Well, one of the things we're working hard to do is identify an organization that can train organizations in our community to be trauma-informed. And so just to get started is working with organizations here in San Antonio so that they and their employees are all trained in trauma-informed care. And that's simply a good place to start.
And Dr. Junda Wu, how does childhood trauma, how is that a public health issue?
In more ways, we could spend a whole episode a whole hour talking about this. But to go all the way over to health outcomes, you know, childhood trauma increases your risk of things like sexually transmitted infections and heart disease and respiratory diseases like chronic, you know, things that you get that have to do with long-term smoking, technically called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It massively increases your risk of suicide, increases the risk of Alzheimer's. So all of that does trickle down. We're not going to see, to go back to your other question about how are we going to track that, we're not going to see results in 4 years on that. But we know that this sets a foundation for things throughout the life.
We're talking about San Antonio's Metro Health Strategic Plan. What are the top items that are going to demand urgent action and additional resources to respond to San Antonio's most pressing needs with our community? What are your priorities for health in San Antonio? Have community resources from Metro Health helped you? Give us a call now. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source is going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Metro Health Strategic Plan. What do you want to see as the top priority items for San Antonio as we look for ways to address some of the most pressing needs in our wellness community? Colleen Bridger, Interim Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. You've been recently promoted. You were the director of the health department.
I was.
And now with the new shakeup at City Hall, a new city manager, I guess they said, "Hey, let's move you upstairs." Now you're going to be, how does that change what you're going to be doing?
I oversee health still, but I have added human services, parks, equity and immigration to the programs and departments that I oversee.
And you still have to be approved by City Council? Why is it interim? What does that mean?
So the city manager and I are going to take 6 months to figure out if this is a good fit. If it is, then he'll post the position and I will apply. If it isn't, then he'll post the position and I won't apply. So we're still trying to figure out if I can leave my true love of public health for a broader perspective.
Yeah, I know it's tough. You always feel like you want to do more, but you have to focus on. That's pretty much like what we're talking about right now, figuring out what are the priorities. Okay. I always tell people, like, what are your goals, and let your goals make your decisions for you. Is that kind of like what we're talking about right now with public health? What are the goals that you want for San Antonio's health?
Exactly. Yes.
So when we went to break, we were talking about the impact of childhood trauma and how that is a public health concern. Can you help fill in some of the blanks?
Yeah, one of the things that I don't think people really fully understand about why trauma in childhood, so things like abuse and neglect, but also things like if a parent goes to prison, if there's substance abuse in the home, if there's mental illness in the home, if there's domestic violence in the home, even if the child isn't the one being abused, those things are all traumatic events in a child's life. And what people don't understand the connection is that when a child is exposed to danger on a regular basis, their brain develops around being prepared for danger. And when your brain is prepared for danger and your body is in that fight or flight mode, your brain doesn't develop for long-term thinking. You're not planning for the future. You're not developing your prefrontal cortex. And so as you get older, you're less likely to be able to make those really solid decisions that we need our teenagers and adults to be able to make to have a healthy, productive future. So that's why we're focusing on that, because there is such a strong connection between trauma in childhood and not just mental health issues, but also physical chronic health conditions, like Dr. Wu mentioned, heart disease, diabetes. And so we want to make sure that if the health department's job is to address chronic disease, then we need to go as far upstream as we possibly can, and addressing childhood trauma is the farthest upstream that we can go.
Another item addressed in the priorities that you're proposing, this will have to be approved by City Council.
Correct.
So one of them is access to health care. Now, the number of Bexar County residents enrolled in the 2019 health insurance through the Affordable Care Act plunged nearly 11%. According to federal data released recently, Bexar County fared worst of Texas major urban areas with the people who are enrolled in the ACA. Also, about 50,000 Texas children are losing Medicaid coverage each year because their families are failing to actually deal with the paperwork required by the state. And so they're falling off the rolls. They're not getting the health care. Is this one of the issues that you're thinking about? It's like, how do we get people enrolled in these programs that are available, that they do qualify for, yet getting that paperwork done can be really tough for some folks?
So it is part of what we're thinking about when we're talking about access to care. There's so much to be unpacked with what you were talking about. But yes, having people
start unpacking.
We've got an hour. So what happened with the ACA was just an absolute catastrophe, right? We had people who were very confused by the messages that they were hearing out of Washington, D.C. about the fact that they wanted to dismantle the ACA. In fact, a lot of people that I talked to thought that it had been done away with. And so we're working against some of that lack of understanding about the fact that the ACA is still here. It is still providing really great health insurance at a really low cost for people who need it. And we didn't do a very good job this year of getting that word out to kind of counterbalance the messages that were coming out of DC. So we need to do a better job with that, working with our community, working with our partners to get that word out. Same thing with re-enrolling for Medicaid. It's not that difficult to re-enroll for Medicaid, but it is having to go to a government bureaucracy and deal with government workers. And if, when your kid's not sick and you've got two jobs and you're trying to figure out how you're going to cook dinner that night, it just doesn't rise to the level of priority until you have to take your child to the doctor.
Right. So the issue with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and people thinking that it had been discontinued when it hadn't been, that's understandable. That's a national issue. But Bexar County was the worst major metropolitan county in Texas for the number of people who fell off of the Affordable Care Act. So was there some sort of local failure that not getting the message out locally?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And under previous administrations, there was funding provided to get the word out and help people navigate a complicated health insurance system. Under the current administration, that support was revoked. So I don't think that Bexar County did as well as other places at compensating for those lack of resources. So we'll need to make sure that we've gathered all of our partners together and are doing a more cohesive, clear message out to people that this is still an option for them.
Also, Bexar County was very aggressive early on. That was one of the best counties for getting people signed up for the Affordable Care Act when there were those resources available. And so because he had done so well, it might have created a situation where it was easy to kind of fall off and taper back because of those there were no backstops involved and people were able to go back to their normal lives. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of looking at it. The number to call in if you've got a question or a comment about San Antonio's strategic health plan and what the priorities should be, the number is 210-614-8980, and Jorge is on the line. Jorge, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm very fascinated by this topic. I am actually an HIV undetectable gay man who grew up with a lot of childhood trauma because I was raised in a religion that tried very hard to, convert me from being gay to straight. And I'm actually excited about hearing that, you know, Metro Health is targeting, you know, the issues of childhood trauma and how it can be a precursor to STDs, especially for LGBT people who are contracting STDs like HIV and syphilis, which is also tied to drug use. So I appreciate that Metro Health. I recently participated in a podcast, and I explained how I was kind of dissatisfied with how Metro Health is targeting prevention because they're not including that mental health piece, or they haven't. And I'm excited to hear that, you know, these are things that are being considered now.
Jorge, thank you for the call. And Colleen Bridger, do you want to respond? I mean, y'all have been focusing on getting people tested, knowing your sexual health conditions, and getting PrEP out there. We have PrEP available for free because of San Antonio's HIV situation. So there's a lot going on.
But not enough. And I appreciate your call, Jorge, because we are realizing that we do need to focus on the entire body. You can't cut the head off from the body. You really have to look at what's going on emotionally, mental health perspective as well. So you'll see that throughout the strategic plan. Another one of our focus areas is on preventing depression and anxiety. And again, that ties in very nicely with the childhood trauma, but also it's a precursor for a lot of other mental health issues. And with our focus on prevention and getting upstream, we feel like if we can address those two issues early enough, we can prevent people from spiraling into more chronically and persistently worrisome mental health issues.
So that was a 90-90-90 plan.
Dr. Wu can tell you
all
about
that. So Dr. Wu, where are we with the 90-90-90?
But before I talk about that, PrEP for people, well, it kind of fits in, but PrEP for people who don't know what it is a safe, effective daily pill that is, if you don't have HIV, you take it to prevent you from acquiring HIV. And when I go out in the physician community to try to advocate for this, because a lot of people don't know about it, even physicians, and they're not prescribing it, one of the things I hear is, a judginess that we don't necessarily hear about other kinds, you know, like people who have high cholesterol, right? Like if I prescribe PrEP, then people are going to, you know, engage in more sexually risky behaviors. And number one, this is for people who already are at risk, but this ties into the adverse childhood experiences. When you look at men who have sex with men who have HIV, in different studies, about half of them experience childhood sexual abuse. So childhood sexual abuse leads to risky behaviors, and we've got to get to all of those. The 90-90-90 plan means 90% of people, so there's a global Fast Track Cities initiative to stop HIV to stop new infections by 2030, and the administration recently got on board and is supporting this. Bexar County is one of 48 high-risk counties that are going to be included in to get more services and funding from the federal government. 90% of people who have HIV will be diagnosed. 90% of people who are diagnosed will be in care. 90% of people who are in care will be undetectable, as our caller was, which means that if you're undetectable, you cannot transmit the virus even with condomless sex. So that's huge, as that's what we call treatment as prevention. We are currently at 82, 72, 86. These are big things to change that, you know, again, take years. The only thing that we've seen a change in since we joined Fast Track Cities in the end of 2017 is in the final one, undetectable, where, you know, you can argue about whether it's statistically significant, but we started at 85 and now we're at 86. I'll take that for where we are, you know, 1.5 years in.
Now, when we talk about this issue, HIV, and then we immediately start talking about, you know, the same sex, but this is a public health concern. It's not just for a niche of the community. It's for the entire community. And so, I mean, Colleen Bridger, can you address that?
Yes. HIV prevention is an issue for the entire community. We're seeing a reemergence of HIV infections in our younger populations. And so they didn't live through the 80s. They didn't experience the AIDS epidemic. It's not real to them. And so we need to really intervene and help educate our younger population so that they don't get infected with HIV, so that they can't spread it to all of their sexual partners. Another thing that we're seeing is more fluidity among identification. So whereas before you identified in one category, I am a homosexual, now there's a continuum of identity, which means that people may be having sex with men. Men may be having sex with men, but men may also be having sex with women.
And men on the down low.
Yeah, and so we can't just say this is a gay man's disease anymore. We have to be able to say this is a community issue. We all need to come together and figure out how to help educate our young about the risks of HIV and help people who are infected get on treatment so that they become undetectable and not able to spread the disease to others.
And ethically, this is a preventable, treatable situation. We have the resources. We know what needs to be done. And we as a community should do everything we can do in order to help our brothers and sisters who are dealing with any kind of public health issue that we can address. So we're going to come back from this break, and hopefully you'll call in and give us your comment on your thoughts about San Antonio's issues. What are the top priorities for you when it comes to public health? Chris and Joyce, if you hang on, we'll get you on the air. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. After more than 3 months and thousands of responses through a community survey, the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District is reassessing the city's strategy for wellness and public health. What do you want to see as the priorities for the City of San Antonio's public health campaigns? Childhood trauma, nutrition, access to health care, and community violence are the ones that have risen to the top. But that's 4 out of 20 A lot to choose from when it comes to trying to figure out how can we improve San Antonio's public health. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Let's go to Chris. And Chris, thanks for calling in, and you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is an awesome topic, and I'm just really excited that y'all are talking about it. But as we were talking about, or I was listening to y'all talk about child trauma, I was thinking about my patients. I'm a pediatric therapist here in town, and so many of my kids are going through surgeries, and it's not what you would typically think of as trauma, but anyone under five who's had transplants or multiple surgeries has been robbed of their childhood. One of the best things I've seen in San Antonio is like Phil Hardberger Park. I've had some recent experiences where I've taken patients out, and just this one patient, but there's a community in the park setting of all sorts of kids with special needs, without special needs, and they're all just kids, and they come together and they have such a good time. I'm just curious if, I don't know, on multiple levels. First of all, do we consider these kids with childhood traumatic events as being inclusive of surgeries or chronic medical conditions? And then if so, like, how do we support them better with the infrastructure of San Antonio?
All right, Chris, thank you for the call. Colleen Bridger, Interim Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio.
So thanks for your call, Chris. I appreciate your question. And so what we know about adverse childhood experiences or childhood trauma, we know because there have been decades of research about it. So there are a list of 10 things that the research has identified as traumatic events that cause mental health issues and chronic disease issues later in life. That doesn't mean that the kids that you're talking about, Chris, aren't also going to suffer some sort of long-term effect from the stress and anxiety and trauma caused from their intensive medical interactions that they're having as a young child. Now, the neat thing is that the solution to childhood trauma is called trauma-informed care. And trauma-informed care is a systems approach. So you change the entire system so that you don't scare kids. And that helps kids, whether they've had one traumatic childhood event or 10 traumatic childhood events. And I think it would help kids who aren't currently covered in the research, but who would be very... they would be helped by a system that is focused on supporting kids, building resilience in kids, and not scaring kids into submission.
But one thing Chris mentioned was using Hardberger Park mm-hmm. and our park system and having green spaces and the benefit that pays off in public health. When I go to the park in Woodlawn Lake, and I'm that park is being heavily used every evening by people walking, trying to exercise, just getting outside and enjoying the weather and the beauty and experience, but also moving. So Jennifer Harriet, Assistant Director for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District's Community Health Division, having green spaces, safe places where people can get outside, is that part of this as well?
Absolutely. So one of the things that Colleen mentioned is policy initiatives. So we want to change things at a policy level, like we did with Tobacco 21. We also want to change things at that environmental or the built environment level. So we have increased our parks in San Antonio over the last 5 years by threefold. And we want to make sure that people have safe places that they can exercise in the community, whether that means addressing stray dogs, whether that means making sure that kids can walk to school safely. We are working on all of those areas.
Another caller, 210-614-8980, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I listen to your program all the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was wondering two things. One is, to get on the Affordable Care Act, do you have to be current on your taxes?
No.
The answer was no on that. And you had another question?
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. And, like, is there a number I can call? Like, I'd like to get on the Affordable Care Act, but I don't know who to call for help. I don't know how to do it.
Healthcare.gov.
You can go online to healthcare.gov. We'll have a link on our website as well. And also, our producer will get your contact information, if you don't mind, and we will connect you with someone who can help you do that. So, Jan, are you able to do that? Okay, great. All right, so let's go to another caller, and this is Jay. Jay, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. I love the show. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment regarding a conversation y'all were having around Truvada for PrEP. As pre-exposure for prophylaxis. I actually have had a recent experience with the medical community here in San Antonio, and it's astounding to see the level of, I hate to say ignorance, but there's a lot of ignorance with our medical professionals in Bexar County surrounding what Truvada for PrEP is, and I couldn't agree more. There is definitely a stigma associated with using this medication for pre-exposure. And I think that, it's a priority. We need to address it because the medical community in San Antonio is doing a disservice in not treating people fairly about this. And, I've had personal experiences where I've had to educate anesthesiologists, general practitioners, specialists. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of judgment happening right now. And in a county like Bexar County where, the rates are high, I think it's extremely important to get the word out and to be an advocate, even if you're just, an individual at the personal level. So right. I just wanted to comment on that and say thank you very much for discussing the subject.
Well, Jay, thanks for calling in and telling us about your experiences. So, but getting the healthcare community to buy into these priorities. Jay's talking about his experiences. And so when you make contact with the healthcare professionals, are they going to be a part of this initiative that you have, Colleen Bridger or Jennifer Harriet?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we've been able to do in San Antonio is open a large number of places where people can access PrEP. So we definitely want to be able to tell them where they can go for that. And we will continue to work with the medical community to make sure that they are aware of the availability of PrEP in our community.
Yeah, but not just with PrEP, but with your priorities. The healthcare community, they're the ones that people come in contact with, their doctors, nurses, anyone else. Are they going to be part of this priority list? And they're going to be like, this is what we're all about right now.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So we are involved in making sure that we not only reach out to stakeholders, but also community members to make sure that they're aware of the development of the strategic plan. So along the way, we are engaging with stakeholders, and that includes the medical community, to make sure that they have an opportunity to provide input. In late January, we had about 30 stakeholders and communities come together representing all of the areas that were part of the initial priority areas identified, and they were part of determining that we would focus on the top four that we've identified.
And Dr. Junda Wu, Medical Director with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, how much communications do y'all have with the doctor community in San Antonio, or do y'all make presentations to the, I don't know if there's a local AMA chapter here. How does that work?
There is a Bexar County Medical Society, which about half of physicians are a part of. And, as needed, we go out and give talks. In the last 3 months, I think I've spoken to about 270 different health professionals in 12 talks about congenital syphilis, because we're trying to keep a lid on that. Syphilis is increasing nationally.
And that's when a baby is?
That's when mom has syphilis and isn't, and then has a baby who, if not adequately treated, can develop syphilis later in life. Or if mom's not treated, the baby can be stillborn.
And so we're looking for more testing for anyone who is pregnant, right? Is that
testing at the right time? Testing at the right time, treatment. And, when you look big, there are often systems and policy issues, things that have to do with things like electronic health records. So that's one thing. I would love for Chris to maybe come to a meeting of the End Stigma and HIV Alliance, because interestingly, that, which is our citywide coalition that's working on the 90-90-90 goals, the 2019 topic that the group decided to focus on is stigma in healthcare systems. So, come join the stigma work group so that we can improve ourselves.
And so, Colleen Bridger, this that you come up with, this strategic plan, isn't just a plan that sits on a shelf. This is something you're trying to actualize, actionable information that you give to the entire healthcare community, right?
That's right. And not just the entire healthcare community, the entire community. So we will, like Jennifer said, we will be reaching out to our medical community. We'll continue to reach out to our medical community to keep them in the loop about what we're doing. I have to say, when we were doing Tobacco 21, the medical community was incredibly helpful, incredibly supportive. They showed up at all the right meetings wearing their white coats, and it was very powerful. So they are incredible allies and partners with us, and we greatly appreciate that.
Population health is more than healthcare. It can't just be about doctors.
Say it one more time.
Population health is more than healthcare, so we really want to look much broader than that.
All right. And it says a lot when we have a coalition of people who are in healthcare who are behind a plan saying this is how we're going to get better results, better outcomes in San Antonio. The number to call in if you want to join our conversation, number is 210-614-8980. Other issues, diabetes, drug, alcohol abuse, housing issues, mental health, traumatic childhood experiences, violence, these are there. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What are the priorities when it comes to San Antonio's health care? This is a challenge that has been brought forth by a new Metro Health Strategic Plan. What should the city be looking for that will have the most impact for the most people when it comes to health care? Number is 210-614-8980. And violence is one of the issues, one of the four that has made it to the top out of the 20. Colleen Bridger, why is that something you're looking at for public health? You usually think that's as a criminal matter, right?
Some people do, yes. Our focus when it comes to violence is domestic violence and community-level gun violence, for example. So the health department has, for many years, had a violence prevention initiative called Stand Up San Antonio. And it's interesting. It's based out of on a model out of Chicago that is showing incredible results, which is where you treat violence like a communicable disease. And so it uses the public health approach to stopping contagious diseases to stopping violence. So when there is a violent act in a community, we have violence interrupters who respond to the event and try to isolate it like we would with somebody who was contagious, and then try to prevent it from spreading throughout the community by stopping retaliation. And so we really want to shine more light on that program, expand that program, work with more of our partners throughout the community who are also working on violence, and learn from some other communities. I was just in Philadelphia learning about their gun violence prevention program. They have violence interrupters, but they have a whole lot of other things that are part of the system that they're using to prevent violence. So we want to learn from what other people are doing as well.
Jennifer Harriet, can you talk about that from your data point of view and what y'all are tracking? And obviously, when someone gets shot, that's a health concern. You know, you're bleeding out. You need to get health treatment. Are you coming at it from that way? Or are you looking at also the impact on mental health of on that individual and the people around them? And that's also a contagion.
In this area, we're just starting to really determine what we're going to focus on related to violence. So I don't know if we'll end up looking at some policy changes, as Colleen's talking about, kind of a systems approach. I think we've got some work to do still to determine over the next few months what exactly we'll focus on related to reducing gun violence, for example, in our community.
Another caller, this is Arnold. The number is 210-614-8980. Arnold, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. Thank you for taking my call. In my call, I'd like to ask, I've lived in quite a few towns and cities in the U.S. and internationally. And I have to say that San Antonio's got quite a high proportion of overweight people, and overweight, I think, has been proven to lead to a lot of health issues. My question is, what do the people think about possibly installing or proposing a sugar tax?
All right, Arnold, thank you for the call. So a sugar tax, that's not something that a city can actually do. But, you know, Colleen Bridger, San Antonio does have an obesity issue. And how do we deal with it? And is that something that's in this priorities?
So let's just go back to the sugar tax. Cities in Texas do not have the authority to do that. It's preempted by the state. So if we wanted to do something like that, we would need for some changes to happen at the state level. And what we're doing on obesity prevention in general, one of our priorities is nutrition. And we know that obesity is calories in, calories out. And so we want to make sure that the calories in are healthy calories that are not being eaten in too many quantities. And we also know that people who have experienced trauma in their childhood are much more likely to be obese. And so, again, we're going back to that upstream, let's address the root cause of why people are consuming too many calories or not exercising enough, and really helping to rewire those kids' brains back to the normal state before they were exposed to that trauma.
But there's upstream treatment, and then there's dealing with the immediate what's happening right now in front of you. And I'm wondering if people have gotten the message that when they are drinking this super saturated solution that they call sweet tea, that they are not aware that all that sugar is not an inert substance that they're bringing into their body. This is something that is doing quite a bit of harm to their system. And then they wonder, why are they gaining weight? Why are they pre-diabetic, which I call diabetic? And how do we why can't we communicate that in a more forceful manner, that stop drinking so much sugar?
We have been. I mean, that's the thing. We have been. We probably haven't been forceful, but we've been very clear.
Okay, be forceful.
We've been very clear that too much sugar is bad for you. The focus for us is going to be working with kids, because if you never develop a taste for all that sugar, then you're less likely to be addicted to it as an adult. And you know, we'll call a spade, people who are consuming that much sugar are addicted to the sugar. And so we need to stop that addiction earlier.
So all this self-soothing, whether it be eating too much or sugar or smoking or drinking too much, all of this comes back to dealing with trauma that people may have impacted in their lives. So how do you help them deal with that trauma so that, you know, they don't reach for vaping equipment and what have you and a sweet and super sweet tea, and they're able to realize, I'm not 5 years old anymore. I can deal with this in a more mature manner.
Well, so when kids' brains develop around danger, you can rewire that. And that's going to be our focus. Is we just established, starting in August, the South Texas Trauma-Informed Care Consortium. And that group has over 200 members already that are all working on how do we implement trauma-informed care throughout the community. And the ultimate goal of trauma-informed care is to create enough environments where kids feel safe and secure, so that we break that connection in their brain that they think that the world is a dangerous place to be feared. If they are out in the world and they are not scared, their brain will start to focus on the future and stop being so worried about the danger, the next danger around the corner.
Let's go to Sarah. And Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering what Metro Health was looking at doing about teen pregnancy. Some zip codes are much worse than others, and I was curious if there's any focus on teaching more than abstinence.
Okay, Sarah, thank you for the call. And Jennifer Harriet, is that something you can talk about?
Yes, we've got a number of programs at the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District related to teen pregnancy prevention. So our Project Worth program is something that's been in place probably for about over 10 years now, and has had a big impact on reducing the teen birth rate in San Antonio. One of the ways that we do that is we work very closely with school districts so that they take a look at evidence-based abstinence plus education. So it does include information about birth control and methods that work to prevent pregnancy. And we have been very successful in working with those school districts so that they will adopt evidence-based abstinence plus education. So that is happening in some school districts. There obviously could be more being done. We also are working very closely with youth to work with them to identify what things they have, as Colleen was talking about, things that you want to look forward to. So talking about their dreams and their future to help them realize how important it is for them to stay in school and think about what they want to do in their future. So there's quite a big initiative in that area, including a coalition called the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Coalition.
And reducing teen pregnancy has been one of the areas that we've seen some progress here locally. And so, but one of the points the caller brought up about how different parts of San Antonio have different parts, different health challenges. And we know that if you live in one part of San Antonio, which is more well off and they have more abundance, you're going to probably live longer than if you lived in other parts of San Antonio. So Colleen Bridger, can you talk about looking at San Antonio not as one city, but as multiple areas with lots of different health challenges?
Yeah, we have a map of the city in my office that shows a 15 to 20 year difference in life expectancy between a zip code in the northeast side and a zip code in the east or south or west parts of the city. So, yes, the thing that I like to remind people are the two biggest predictors of how long you will live and how healthy you will be are education and income. And so we need to be able to help people do well in school so that they can get a job where they can have a living wage and more. And that's what's going to ultimately improve the health of our community.
Because when you do overlays with all of those different conditions in San Antonio, they duplicate itself. Who's making those most money, who lives the longest, who has achieved the highest education outcomes. It's amazing, and this probably shows you that all of this is related when it comes to addressing San Antonio's major issues, right?
Absolutely.
And the fact is we are looking at pockets in our community that really need programming or services more than others, and we do target certain parts in the community as needed.
Okay, and the City Council will vote on this when, Colleen Bridger?
So we're presenting the next iteration of this plan in a couple of weeks at a B session, and then it'll go to a vote sometime in
later August or probably early September, actually.
Yep. And then we will see this in
October 1st.
All right. Colleen Bridger, Interim Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio, Jennifer Harriet, Assistant Director for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District Health Division, and Dr. Junda Wu is the Medical Director for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks so much for tuning into The Source today. We'll be back tomorrow.